Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And God sent them two by two, and the man of God spoke peace to them and received them into his floating city, his ark, and he blessed them. Then God said to them, "The time is at hand. The judgment of God has come." And he himself closed and sealed the door of the ark. And the rains came, and the waters rose, and the earth flooded, and the ark floated away. And all who were in it were saved, and those who were not were damned. Two by two they came out of the ark at God's command, and they filled the whole earth. God spoke again and sent them two by two to every town and village that he was to visit. And if there was a man of peace in that town, he received him and he blessed them. It's almost as if there was another flood on the way. And in reality, there was. But this was not a flood of water filled with God's wrath to destroy the wicked, not an ingathering of his animals in pairs to save them from destruction. This time, God was sending out a flood of those who would preach the good news. Good news-bearing messengers sent two by two into all the world. He sent them to prepare the way for the one who saves from sin and death by water and his word. As the animals came in pairs to Noah at God's command, so now the disciples go out two by two at his command as lambs among wolves. But what is it that Jesus wants us to learn here as he tells us about the sending of the 72? What does he want us to see when he sends them out without money bags, without a knapsack, without extra sandals, with explicit instructions that they are to greet no one on the road? I mean, aren't they supposed to be evangelizing here? Wouldn't you want to talk to those you meet on the road? If their message is so important, wouldn't they pay any cost? Wouldn't they be prepared for anything that would come upon them? Wouldn't they greet everybody on the road with this message that Jesus sends? But that's not how he sends them. So what does he want us to hear in this? The answer to the question lies in those words, sent out as lambs in the midst of wolves. You see, their authority and their power isn't in their money or possessions. It isn't in their knapsacks or sandals or in their greetings. Their authority and power was and still is only in and from Jesus Christ. They are weak, but he is strong. Their word is not powerful, but his word in their mouths is. They are sent out in weakness by his command and design, so that when the word that they were sent to speak works miraculous things, when people hear and believe, when the sick are healed and the dead are raised, it would not be to their credit, but to the one who sent them with his word. You know that later on, Jesus would send out his apostles, his disciples, with everything they needed. With an extra tunic, with a money bag, with extra sandals for their feet, and even with a sword for defense. But here he sends them forth with no earthly support or defenses, not only as his authoritative witnesses, but those who are to judge. If you are received, then stay in that place. But if not, then shake the dust off of your feet, for it will testify against that town on the day of judgment. They are sent not only to speak a word of blessing, but to those who reject God's word, to speak the word of judgment. It's still not their word. It's not even their judgment. It's Christ's word and his judgment. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near to you. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. It's hard to understand those words, isn't it? It's not that the judgment against Sodom on the day of judgment will be a worse judgment than the judgment against this town. But Sodom didn't have the benefit of messengers sent to them with the word. Sodom didn't have the benefit of a prophet to preach to them and to call them to repentance. But these towns did. So on this day, on the day of judgment, when this town is judged, they will have to hear again the same word that they heard and then rejected. They will have to know that the truth stood right before them and looked them in the eye, and they turned it down. In that way, the judgment will be more bearable for Sodom than it will be for the town that rejects Jesus' word. According to the Old Testament, two witnesses are necessary for any judgment to be made and for the verdict to stand. So here the author of the law, Jesus, keeps his own law, and he sends out his witnesses who will testify, who must give an account in pairs. And like the 12, these men represent the one who sent them. Their authority is not their own, their words are not their own, but his words. Jesus clearly says, the one who hears you hears me. Well, that means that if you hear him and reject him, you're also rejecting the Father who sent him. Jesus sent them out with a singular purpose. Whatever house you enter first, say, peace be to this house. And that's the theme of all the readings today, the peace of God which passes all understanding. If a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house. Do not go from house to house. And when it is time, go on to another town. Enter that town, and if they receive you, eat what is set before you, for the worker is worthy of his wages. Either way, they are to speak to them, the kingdom of God has come near. Either they will receive his peace, or they will reject it. The message that they carried, the duty that Jesus gave them to prepare the way for his coming, is so important that they are not to waste time greeting people on the road. You see, they're not sent out as evangelists to the whole world. They're sent as those to be pastors to these specific towns and places. Like Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, and nothing could stand in his way, so these disciples were to be of singular focus. They were to go in earnest and do what they were sent to do. Whether those who heard the message received them or not, it is true that the kingdom of God had come among them. Not because Jesus was there in his own flesh, but because his word had gone out to them. If they received the messengers and the word that they carried, then they received Jesus. And they received the Father's mercy, the good news of his salvation, forgiveness for all of their sins, and all the benefits of the kingdom. But if they rejected these messengers and the word that they carried, the messengers were not to stay and debate and try and convince them. Instead, they were to shake the dust off of their feet and move on. It will be worse for those who rejected his word in those days. It will be worse for those who reject his word this day than it will be for Sodom on the day of judgment. Again, not because the judgment of unbelief is more severe, but because the one being judged will know that they held the truth and then rejected it. The writer to the Hebrews says, what hope is there for one who has heard the good news and then turned away? Can they be saved? With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Repent and return to the Lord, Jesus said, for the kingdom of God has come near to you, just as it did to all those towns and villages. Not because of something in me, not because of the words that I speak of my own accord, not because of my clothing or shoes or vestments, but because of God's word. The word that is preached that belongs to Jesus Christ. His word and sacraments are powerful to give eternal life. And those who receive them in faith will be saved. But those who reject them will be damned. This is not my opinion. This is what Jesus says. He also says that I must give an account on the day of judgment for what I have preached to all of you. Paul says that he is not guilty of the blood of any, for he has preached the whole counsel of God to them. And that is what each preacher is responsible to do. It is not his word, it is God's word. If you reject the preacher's word, you're not rejecting the preacher, but God himself. Hearing his word and receiving his gifts is the most important thing that you can do in this life for yourself and for your children. I know it doesn't always feel so important. I know there are lots more things that are more entertaining and exciting, but there is nothing more important. That is what Jesus says. You see, the Lord isn't the only one preaching his word through those he has sent. The devil, too, preaches and sends his evil angels to lead people away from Christ, to keep them focused inward on themselves, on worldly things. The devil wants to convince them that God's word really isn't that important, that his judgment won't really come, that it'll be okay on the day of judgment. And the devil has done his work of preaching quite well. His disciples, too, have been to all these towns and villages, to all these cities and homes to which Jesus will go, and he has been to visit you also. He knows just how and when and where to attack in order to do the most damage to Christ's message in this world. And he rejoices when those reject Christ. You heard the messengers that spoke Jesus' word. You heard that many of them were rejected in the towns that they went to. There wasn't always a man of peace that was there to receive them and hear the word from them and to provide for them. But you also know, like Lot, that if there were even five righteous people there, the Lord would not destroy it, for he is merciful. Still, this is nothing new. Noah preached for nearly 100 years about the coming judgment. He called them to repentance and faith. And then the flood came. And there were only 8 humans that were saved, though there was much more room in the ark. All 8 of them were related to the preacher. It would seem as though his word did not have power, and yet God preserved his people. But when these disciples go out 2 by 2 preaching in Jesus' name, healing the sick, driving out demons, speaking peace, forgiveness to households and towns, it isn't rain or fire that falls from heaven, but Satan himself is cast out. Jesus says, I saw him fall from lightning or like heaven. I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. Excuse me. You see, the devil has not and cannot conquer God and his word. He has been cast down by the preaching of the truth about sin and death and forgiveness and life in Jesus Christ alone. It is his word, Jesus' word, that drives the devil away. When those called and ordained to preach and teach Jesus' word today go out and serve God's people, gathered around his word with baptism and with the Lord's Supper, the devil's plans are hindered, and his schemes are revealed, and life is given, and people are healed and nourished spiritually. Relationships are restored. And there is forgiveness, and there is God's peace. God's word is powerful. He has promised that it will accomplish what he sends it to do. It is so powerful that even the gates of hell cannot stand up against it. He says to those disciples that he sent, Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this power, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And that's the same message that he wants you to hear today. All who believe and are baptized shall know the God of heaven. It is through God's word and his promised spirit given in his word and in holy baptism that you know this God who saves, that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and that you will not be sent to hell. In our weakness, Christ is strong. He sent out his disciples to fill the earth with good news and joy, like a great flood, so that not just the heavens would declare the glory of God, but that God's people, those that he first formed from the dust of the earth, that he gave his life on the cross to save, that those people, you, would show forth his glory in all the world. In your baptism, your name was written in the Lamb's book of life. God's word of peace was poured over you like a peaceful, nourishing rain or like a cleansing flood that washed away all of your sins. Therefore, we can do exactly what the psalmist says. We can rejoice, Jerusalem. Rejoice, those who dwell in her. Rejoice, those who mourn over her, for the kingdom of God has come near to you. Jesus has taken the millstone of sin around your neck, and he has removed it. He has called you to come into his ark. He has sealed you safely in, and he has spoken his blessing and his peace upon you. The clouds of judgment are again gathering in our world. It will not be long before Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead, just as he has promised. But on that day, he will speak no word against those who have received and treasured and believed his word, for his peace has already come upon you. There will be no judgment on that day for you. Nothing in this life, he has promised, not even physical death, can separate you from God's love. Nothing in this life can harm those who are in Christ Jesus. In his name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.